producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Now listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Chatting with Valentin Schmidt right now. He is the business editor of the Epoch Times newspaper based out of New York. Valentin, I like to think of you as a specialist in what's going on in China, and some of the big news that has been coming out over the last couple weeks dealt with the IMF, including the Chinese yuan in the SDR. You came out with a number of articles and also some great interviews that I posted on our site. If anybody wants to see those, just go check out kereport.com and type in Valentin's name in the search bar. Valentin, I want to start off by getting your overall impression of if this is significant, what the IMF did a few weeks ago.
Corey, thanks a lot. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. On the one hand, it is significant. On the one hand, it's not significant. So it's true. I wrote a pretty big piece about what the SDR actually is. So it's the IMF's own currency, which I think reserve currency is actually somewhat of a misnomer because there are no reserves for the SDR. The SDR is more like a derivative on the basket of now five currencies. I have to say that even though they made the decision to include the renminbi, it's not going to be included until October 1st, 2016. So let's just assume the renminbi was already included. So you have now five currency, euro, dollar, yen, pound sterling, and the renminbi. But they call it a basket, and normally in a basket you would expect some eggs in there. Well, there aren't any eggs in there. There's nothing in there. All you have is a derivatives are drawing right on those currencies. And then if I was an IMF member, so only members and the IMF can transact in these things for now, and the IMF, they allocate SDRs to members depending on the quota and depending on how much they paid in. They have about 300 billion worth of those things around, so actually not very, very much. Anyway, if I want to transact, then usually another member will say, okay, I'll pay you X dollar for SDR. Most of the time, you don't even exchange the whole five currencies. You just say, I want the dollar value, I want the yen value, I want the euro value. And then another member can be any member, doesn't have to be China or US or whatever. Say, okay, I'll buy it and I'll give you the money for it. Very important here to note is that the IMF is not liable for the SDR. It's the members which are liable. The IMF can actually enforce a member. If nobody says, okay, I'll take the SDR voluntarily, then the IMF can force a member to basically make a market for it. So very important. The IMF prints it up, but it's not liable for it. So, and the money doesn't exist. That's the other thing. It doesn't exist until it actually changes hands. So it's really more a derivative than a reserve currency because A, it's not really a currency. It's a unit of account. It's something that the IMF transacts in. And B, it doesn't have any reserves. So that's to start with. Then is it significant for the Chinese? Yes. Let's talk about some short-term consequences to begin with. So you see that since yuan got included in the SDR, they've been gradually devaluing their currency ever more. So I wrote a piece yesterday saying China has officially joined the currency wars. Basically, now that they're in, they're going to devalue gradually. They're still managing it, selling treasuries to prop it up, but they will devalue. People say currency is overvalued 15-20% based on domestic price deflation that they have, so they're going to do that. That's significant. Now, will this mean that now central banks all over the world will start buying renminbi because the IMF endorsed it? There's two problems with it. A, again, the SDR itself doesn't represent anything, so you don't have to buy anything. Even if I'm an IMF member and I hold SDRs, I don't have to buy any yuan now just because I hold SDR. That doesn't make sense. Second, even if the IMF says, okay, yuan is a great currency, which, by the way, I would like to note that the IMF has been wrong on occasion in its assessments, then there's still no market for UN assets comparable to the treasury market. They have started now to issue more bonds and bills, but that market is just tiny, very tiny. So even if I'm a central bank and I want to invest in Chinese assets, what do I invest in? Do I invest in the stock market? Do I invest in real estate? Do I invest in bank deposits? I mean, those are all not assets that central banks generally tend to hold. And there is no central government bond market, so to speak of. So there's basically no relevance there in terms of assets that may change in the future. Who knows? The biggest point that I found during my research, what is interesting, and that's why I would like to point out that my analysis is basically that's the situation now. However, interestingly enough, the Chinese bank central, the governor of the Chinese central bank wrote in 2009 already that he thinks the SDR should become the world reserve currency. And he basically outlined what needs to happen. A, of course, he asked for the yuan to be included, which is not the case. B, he said, instead of just using it for the IMF, you should create a capital market, companies should use it, governments should use it, private citizens should use it, so you can invest in it, et cetera, et cetera. Government should issue bonds in it. And if you actually follow his guidelines, then yes, you could have the SDR as the reserve currency. So Jim Rickards has written extensively about the topic. He thinks that that's the end plan, not just of China, but also of the United States, to create a global reserve currency where the dollar still has a big influence and managed by the IMF, which is still controlled by the United States. And for China, of course, this means that they have more influence. Of course, it's not the same as the yuan being the reserve currency. They know that that's not going to happen, but it's a step in the right direction. And last but not least, another confusion on the topic is that now the currency is included in the basket doesn't mean anything for the voting rights that China has at the IMF. They still have around 2%. America has 18%. Which gives them a veto power, and that doesn't change.
So, yeah. Valentin, I think the takeaway that some people have from this is that, yes, there could be this transition that China is more powerful, but it sounds like from your assessment they are not. My biggest question to you is, if the world does continue to go down the road of potentially using the SDR as a reserve currency, does that mean the IMF has more control over China than they did before?
Well, yeah, I wrote a piece about that, and that is certainly true. Like I said, you know, first of all, very important, the most important thing, they can point the finger to China and says, you have to make good on all of the SDR promises. They have the legal power to do that. So, yes, they have control. And B, there's certainly going to be also more reporting requirements on China. So they started releasing their gold data, et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, the Chinese, they got a nod of approval for their currency, where, again, I have to say that the IMF is not always right. But in terms of pure logistics and, you know, statutes and everything, now the IMF has more control over China than China has control over the IMF. That's for sure.
So this process of, if the SDR is to become the reserve currency, or at least make a move towards that, this is going to take some time, won't it?
Oh, it's going to take a long time, unless you force people outright to accept, you know, to buy SDR bonds or whatever. You know, you have to basically replicate a capital market structure that the dollar has now. You have to replicate that with the SDR, and that takes a long time, especially until people actually buy into it, if you don't force them to buy into it, which, you know, is always a possibility.
True, it is a possibility, but the fact of the matter is, I think this will be a long process, and people will definitely see it coming, but it is an interesting point that you bring up, that I think China does realize that their currency is not going to be the world reserve currency, and there has been rumors, or at least people have written about the fact that even the U.S. would like a more global currency rather than just the U.S. dollar. And continuing on with these currency wars that we have been seeing, maybe a basket of currencies like this is not the worst idea. The only problem is, as you mentioned, it's still pretty much controlled by the U.S. thanks to their huge voting rights within the IMF.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As the cold and flu season approaches, Silver Lungs is ready to help you and your family through the toughest of the year by supporting your immune system and overall health. From our best-selling colloidal silver generating system to our entire line of silver-based skin gels, nasal sprays, soaps, and silver solutions, Silver Solutions remain one of nature's most powerful and least expensive antibacterial agents. Now you can produce your own for pennies a day in the comfort of your home using the breakthrough technology of the Silver Lungs Generator. Learn more today at www.silverlungs.com.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I have an important message. Right now, the highest levels of government are struggling against an inevitable crisis, but they're about to lose control. When this happens, it will rip our country apart in ways you never imagined, from where we shop to the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. A few years ago, I warned that the housing prices would collapse. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash, and they did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves, but this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all. I've posted a free video at disappearingdollar.com. Maybe you'll disagree with my conclusions, but first you need to watch this video and see the facts for yourself. You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingdollar.com. Again, that's disappearingdollar.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't pick on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zero. Rolled out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
A lot of people's lives and bodies are out of balance. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops optimize pH level and get rid of harmful waste and acid. Just a few drops in water restores vibrance and energy and gets you back in balance. Now order two bottles and get $10 off your order. Sign up for monthly auto shipping and save 25%. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Continuing on with the second hour of our weekly radio program. Corey and I are chatting with a new guest right now. Very, very interesting guy, Lance Lewis. He is the originator of Lewis Capital out of Arlington, Texas. Lance used to work with a guy who I knew early in my career, probably better than average, and it's a guy by the name of David Tice. David ran a fund called a Prudent Bear Fund, and And I remember that was a real favorite, for lack of better terms, of a colleague of Corey's and mine, Jay Taylor. And he had nothing but very positive things to say about David. And we're assuming, Lance, the same is going to carry over to you. Now, you've been on your own for how long now?
Since 2002, actually.
Time flies when you're having fun, for lack of better terms. I'd like to open up, if you don't mind, Corey, with asking Lance what he thinks about the potentiality of an upward direction for the conventional markets next year in 2016, specifically the Dow and the S&P.
Well, I mean, I would say the odds of that are probably pretty low. You've had a seven-year bull market right by now. That's pretty long in the tooth. Most stocks topped out this summer, and even as you've had a bounce in the indices, new lows have continued to expand, and breadth has been pathetic. And you're starting to see data that suggests that things are slowing down rapidly, and the Fed at the same time is painting itself into a corner where it feels it has to raise rates to try and prove that it can. And in the past, for example, when the manufacturing ISM has been in contraction territory where it is now, over the last 7 years, they have been launching new QE programs. You know, they're right on the cusp of that. And this time, you know, they're not doing that. You know, with rail traffic falling off a cliff, you know, I think the odds of this turning out well next year are not very high.
Lance, I find this year, 2015, so interesting in the markets because, as you mentioned, the conventional markets have been, for the most part, on pretty much a straight line upward direction. But through 2015, we started off fairly weak through January, came right back and trended up, hit a new high, actually the newest high that we've hit back in May. But then we had that big drop in August, fought it back, and now we are, with the big drop just this week, we're under where we started the year. So overall, it's been a choppy year, but this really does look like a topping process, doesn't it?
I'd say so. It's, you know, it's about almost, you're looking at about a year in time span that it's been topping as well. Or you could probably even go back to the fall of last year and count that as well as part of the top. You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Now, Lance, do you think that investors in these markets have gotten a little bit complacent because they have been on such a run since the last collapse?
I'd say that's an understatement. I mean, since the Fed did QE3 starting in late 2012 and into 2013, I think investors basically kind of looked around and, you know, we had printed a couple trillion bucks at that point. Nothing bad had happened. And, you know, stocks were rallying, and the economy wasn't good, but it wasn't bad. So they kind of, you know, shrugged their shoulders and said, maybe this is going to work. And so, you know, I think that's one of the reasons the gold, for example, fell out of bed in 2013 was people decided they didn't need it. Because to be honest, I mean, if the Fed can print $2 or $3 trillion and solve all our problems, you don't need gold. I call it the Easter Bunny theory, that everybody kind of bought into this theory. And I think people have complacently, you know, continued to buy into it as long as stocks have continued to go higher over the last couple of years. And the only way it's going to die is when they see that, you know, the Fed can't raise rates and the economy is not on some sort of self-sustaining path to the upside. And, you know, markets are going to turn down, and this time the Fed's not going to have any bullets to revive it with.
Do any industries you think might be able to buck that trend if, in fact, it happens?
You know, as luck would have it, I think gold can probably buck that trend, the gold mining stocks in particular.
Lance,
that's actually kind of my specialty.
Lance, do you think that gold will have an aggressive move up, considering we have been just over 5 years into this rough market? Do you think that we'll have just this skyrocketing effect, or will it take some time?
You know, I don't know on the metal. I mean, and, you know, initially you do have a big spec short position, and you know, all bull markets are kicked off initially by a short squeeze. It's typically how it works, and I would expect a squeeze to begin here as well and kind of kick things off. But then after that, you know, I don't know, because I think, you know, negative interest rates, it seems to be where the Fed is going to go on the next downturn rather than printing money, at least initially. And, you know, negative interest rates are probably actually more bullish for gold than QE was, because it's money out of the banking system and into things like gold and silver, just placeholders. But, you know, how quickly those dots are connected, because obviously there's going to be a period where the Fed does nothing, and there's going to be a period where they take back the first 25 that they're probably going to, you know, be feel like that they're forced to tack on next week. So there's a time lag in there, and I don't know how far forward people are going to look. But if it's anything like, you know, the cycle back in 2001, it's the mining stocks that are actually going to explode, you know, first, far more than the metal. And, you know, one of the things that's kind of interesting here over the last couple of months, you've had a divergence basically between the metal and the mining stocks, whereas things like the GDX did not make new 52-week lows in November when the metal made repeated closing 52-week lows over, you know, multiple days. And the last time that happened, oddly enough, was in early 2001 when the market began to anticipate the Fed was going to be forced to ease rapidly because the economy was turning over back then, you know, late in 2000, and because the tech wreck had kind of worked its way through the system. And, of course, then you got to get a surprise rate cut. I think it was in late January or early February. I can't remember when Greenspan did it. But you're kind of in an interesting, a similar situation here now, I think, to some degree.
Now, when did you develop an interest in mining stocks in particular? Because the market had been pretty tough the last 3 or 4 years.
Probably back in the mid-90s, really. I mean, I've been around the, you know, the gold bull market since the very beginning. I was actually at David's shop at the time and helped him run the gold portion and gold mining stocks portion of the portfolio. And, I've really been around it ever since then. I didn't, you know, go exclusively into gold and gold equities until really 2008. And since then, that's really all I've done.
Well, Lance, I think you do have a good outlook on what is happening next year, what could happen next year. I think still so much depends on what the Fed's going to do, not only in, well, next week, but also moving through 2016. Jan has been very clear stating that people should be concerned about the process of rate hikes, not just the first one. But if we keep on seeing these markets pull back, and if we do see the dollar pop on a certain rate hike, then the Fed might need to reevaluate. And there are a lot of pundits out there saying that, you know, the Fed has backed themselves into a corner and they might just raise rates just because they've prepped the market so much for it. But what will the repercussions be? And I think almost the downward moves in the markets this week, almost 3% down just in a week, is showing that traders might be trying to get on the other side of that, assuming that they will raise rates, and almost showing the Fed that, you know what, maybe everything isn't as great as they might want to think, or that some of their data points show them. Lance, it's always a pleasure chatting with you. We're definitely going to have you back on the show again. Everybody stick around. We are going to be right back with Abby Gilbert.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Still wondering what to get that special someone that has everything? At ID Stronghold, we still find that a huge percentage of people do not yet have an RFID blocking wallet or purse to protect them from the new and growing threat of electronic pickpocketing. That's right. Even though 40% of all new chipped payment cards shipped in 2014 contain a wireless interface called RFID that allows the account information to be skimmed by a thief passing near your cards, most people are still unprotected. The good news is that ID Stronghold makes luxurious leather wallets and other products that prevent this. ID Stronghold founded the entire RFID protection industry and has been protecting the RFID chips in government and military ID cards for over a decade. So go to IDStronghold.com and get that loved one a stylish leather RFID blocking wallet or clutch. That's IDStronghold.com. After all, wallets and purses have always been a great gift. Now they are an even better gift. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Hope you're enjoying the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Corey and I are chatting right now with Avi Gilbert. Avi is what I would consider to be a master technician. And the question I have for you, Avi, you've been pretty accurate in the past. What are your technicals telling you right now, Avi, that the domestic conventional markets are going to look like in the United States here in 2016?
Ideally, I'm bullish for 2016, ideally. A lot's really going to depend on how this shakeout completes. And a lot depends on, you know, the smaller moves really make up the bigger moves. So if the market can hold today over the 2000 level, and then from there we see, you know, a big rally into early next week, even if we get another bigger drop next week, as long as we're holding over the 1950 level on the SPX, to me, that is an immediate bullish setup that potentially will point us to 2,300 or higher on the SPX in 2016. However, if we take out 1950, my expectation is we're going to go at least 100 points lower, at least the way it's set up right now. We'll go at least 100 points lower, and we may still see that 17 handle on the outside chance. But that also should be a bullish setup for 2016. Just a little bit of a different bullish setup. One says that the high we hit recently, a month and a half or 2 months ago, is the start of the next bigger rally, whereas the secondary perspective is that the high we hit a month and a half or so ago was only the top of a corrective rally.
Avi, throughout December, we've seen the market, especially the SPX,
move quite violently, over a percent, multiple days of the movement, some up, but most of them down. What is this telling you in your charts when we see this kind of volatility?
Well, that's why the 2000 level today means so much to me. Normally, that type of volatility signifies what we call an ending diagonal. And what we're looking at is if this is an ending diagonal, we're able to hold the 2000 region right here and then see a bigger rally off that. We could still see more of that type of whipsaw into next week. But what an ending diagonal tells us is the market is completing an ending diagonal. It's completing a corrective move in this case. So if we hold over the 2000 level today and Monday, then this up-down whipsaw, all it is the end of a corrective move that's shaking out both the bulls and the bears alike. And that's going to set us up for the bigger rally that I would expect as long as we hold over 1950.
What I think is interesting is many of the commentators on our site on this particular show are fairly bearish when it comes to 2016. And I am for entirely different reasons because your technical abilities don't end. I'm not even close to you, trust me. But I've got some fairly interesting intuition that served me pretty well in the past. I'm looking at, you know, the psychological aspects of a total decline of, you know, a decline of sorts in the market happening in 2016. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think the Fed, whose mandate it is to maintain these markets, I don't think they're going to let it drop into a meaningful trough.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you about that, Al, because I don't believe the Fed is mandated with managing our stock market. Many people believe that the Fed is putting money into the market. Many people believe in the PPT, as they say. But for me, I don't look at it that way. To me, if that's the case, we wouldn't have had a 2007 and 2008. You know, that wouldn't have happened if that was the case. I don't believe there's anybody that's standing there with the buy button with all this make-believe money ready to push the market up. I just don't believe it. I don't see it. If that's the case, corrections would never occur. But from my perspective, I don't believe the Fed is anywhere near as controlling the market as most believe. And I believe the same thing with interest rates. I believe the market is what sets the interest rates and the Fed simply follows.
Avi, I very much appreciate that comment because I think it is a bit of a false statement to say that, you know, the Fed is driving these markets, especially on a day-to-day basis. Absolutely, if the Fed needs to step in and, you know, start another QE program or what have you, then that will impact the market. But I don't think Yellen is sitting there looking at her trading account and just using Fed money to move it.
Yeah. I'll take it even another step further. Most people believe QE was directed right into our market through the Fed. And look, I'm an accountant. I'm a lawyer. Nobody has yet been able to show me how the machinations that create QE go into the stock market. If people really understood what QE is and what the entries are that generate QE, they understand that all quantitative easing is a method through which the Fed makes more debt available to the market. That is all QE does. Whether that debt is acted upon, you need demand in the market for the debt, for it to actually make it into the system. This is what we call velocity of money. We have not had velocity of money because the demand is not there for the supply that the Fed has given us with QE.
I think that when you have a fair amount, a large amount, for lack of better terms, of very inexpensive money out there, I think a portion of that money is going to be used for entry into the market. Look at all the stock buyback programs that many companies have done. You want to tell me that hasn't kept the market elevated?
If there are people that are using the additional debt to take that debt and then enter into market, that's one thing. But to say that QE goes directly into the market is completely false.
Well, of course it is, but indirectly.
The grand scale of all the QE debt that has been, quote-unquote, made available is what has pushed this market up. That is also false.
Avi, I want to get back into the markets here quickly because we have touched on this whole, you know, Fed buying QE program thing before. I want to talk about the movements in oil and get your outlook there because oil has broken below that low that it put in the tail end of August. It is not looking good, I don't think, for oil. What about you?
Well, I'll tell you, LPG actually sent me an email this past week giving us some kudos about our oil call coming down to this region from the 16 region. So we expected the drop down to the $10 region on the USO. So right now I actually just posted on my site that, you know, I may be a little early, but I'm coming out of all my shorts before this weekend is up. Again, I may be a little bit early, but at least for this segment of the decline, I will be coming out of my shorts. I'm still expecting one more rally followed by a lower low potentially in the USO, but I will tell you that we're getting to the point where it is getting very dangerous to be on the short side.
One of those aspects of it, it's just so low right now that essentially how much lower can it go, or almost for the conventional markets, like you ride it up so much, don't get cocky.
Well, at this point, I think you're looking at the rubber band theory. When the rubber band gets stretched a little too far, what usually happens? The snapback is quite violent. And with it's what I've seen is that most of the market is believing that $20 oil is a fait accompli already. I'm just not seeing that at this point in time. I think we're going to bottom out pretty soon, at least on this segment of this decline, to the point where, you know, I want to take my ball home with me this weekend. Again, I could see a little bit lower, but I think by the time the day is out, I will probably be taking most of my short money home at this point. And I'll be looking for the next rally. Maybe I'll short it, maybe I don't, because, you know, at best I see one more decline after the next rally, and then I think this long-term correction, which we actually called for back in May of last year, we actually called the top on this one, but I'm looking for it bottoming out very soon.
All right, Avi, always great chatting with you. Everybody go check out Avi's website, ElliottWaveTrader.net. Stick around, we're going to be right back with our take on a listener's question on U.S. geothermal.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't take on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Attention, all men. Are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Are you having a slower, weaker stream? Don't ignore the warning signs of your aging prostate. Get your free bottle of Super Beta Prostate. Super Beta Prostate is guaranteed to support a more complete emptying of your bladder, a fuller, stronger stream, and less waking at night to urinate.
Super Beta Prostate is a product that I really like. I endorse it. I use it myself. I was very pleasantly surprised that Super Beta Prostate helped me fairly quickly.
Super Beta Prostate is formulated with a natural plant enzyme called beta-sitosterol. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 salt palmetto pills to get the same sterols as just one Super Beta Prostate tablet. Don't ignore the warning signs of your aging prostate. Call now to get your free bottle of Super Beta Prostate. Call 1-800-853-1203. That's 1-800-853-1203. 800-853-1203.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
911, what is your emergency?
There's somebody in my house. Hurry, please.
A home break-in happens every 22 seconds. Homes without a security system are up to 3 times more vulnerable to a burglary. That's why they're SimpliSafe. In an emergency, our advanced wireless technology alerts police up to 10 times faster, and your connection to emergency services can't be cut because SimpliSafe doesn't rely on landlines. SimpliSafe costs less than half what traditional companies charge, just $14.99 a month, and there's no commitment to an annual contract. Protect your family with the highest caliber security. Go now to SimpliSafeDefense.com and get 10% off with free shipping and a 3-year warranty. Hurry, and you'll also receive a keychain remote worth $25. Try SimpliSafe for a full 60 days. You'll feel confident that your family is safe or your money back. Go to SimpliSafeDefense.com right now. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Welcome back. In keeping with our philosophy of providing our personal opinion on the information out there on publicly traded companies, we are going to talk about a company right now that the professor, better known on our blog as CFS, brought to our attention. It's a company called U.S. Geothermal. U.S. Geothermal is headquartered in Boise, Idaho. Corey's going to get into the financial statement. What we have available right now is through the end of the third quarter. Corey, why don't you start us out?
All right, well, as a quick little general overview of the company, U.S. Geothermal has multiple producing properties and also a number of properties under development. Technically 3 producing properties, 2 JVs called Neal Hot Springs in Oregon and Raft River in Idaho. They also have 1 wholly owned producing plant called San Elmindio, I believe that is, in Nevada. There are also 4 plants that are considered under development. I won't go too much into those because the 2 which the company is actively working on are not really scheduled to come online until the third quarter 2016 and mid-2017. And some of the articles that I read state that these timelines might be a little aggressive. So let's focus more on the shorter term, that being the next year or so. I want to take our listeners through a couple of the properties, actually all the producing properties. First off, Raft River. This is one of the JV properties. Thankfully, this property only accounts for about 15.1% of total revenues because, quite frankly, this plant had a lot of trouble this year, and it looks like it had trouble in the last couple of years. This year it had 2 unplanned outages, higher operating costs. All in all, in the 9-month period, revenues for this plant fell by 6.5%, and expenses increased by 12.3%. So overall, this is not their best plant. What really stuck with me in this plant was that even with these unplanned outages and the increase in expenses, employees at the plant were still awarded a bonus of $55,000. And the reason why I'm mentioning this property or this plant first is because it is the biggest underperformer. Overall, this plant contributed, if you want to call it contributed, a loss of over $1 million in the last 9 months. So, not very impressive. Next up is the Neal Hot Springs plant. Overall, this plant is running fairly well. It makes up 59% of the total revenues for the company, both last year and this year. plant expenses increased these 9 months 3.4%, while revenue only increased 0.1%. Now, there were a couple unexpected and expected shutdowns. So, barring any more unexpected shutdowns, I'm looking forward to the next quarter and into 2016, this plant contributing a little bit more positively to the bottom line. Overall, yeah, I would just like to see this plant function more efficiently, and if it does, then contributing 59% to total revenues, this could have a nice bump in the bottom line. Finally, the property that the company owns 100%, San Emidio, makes up 25% of the total revenues, which has grown 1.5% from the same period last year. Everything about this plant I like. Plant expenses decreased over 12%, while revenues increased almost 8%. The plant made a gross margin over these 9 months of 49%, which is up almost 12% from last year. The operations of this wholly owned plant are doing extraordinarily well. Moving on to the financials, revenue increased not a whole lot this year, but it did increase. Net income increased a lot. This was the real standout to me, 190%. The net income was just over $800,000 for the nine-month period. I think that this could continue to grow as we look into next year. Now, one of the standouts that caught my attention when I first looked over the financials was the debt, $95 million in debt. When I dove further into that, quite frankly, this company needs to fund a lot of its plant building costs with debt. And looking into the terms of this debt, the largest loan outstanding, only interest of just over 2.5%, which is reasonable. The next outstanding amount of about $30 million of this debt is at a rate of 6.7%. The nice thing about the loan payments is that they are decreasing year after year for the next about 20 years. So taking that into account, move into a couple side aspects of this company. Subsequent to the financials, the company purchased equipment to build some binary geothermal power plants, and they purchased this equipment for $1.5 million, which they claim should have cost $30 million. So when this plant or these materials are used, quite frankly, the overall depreciation that they're going to need to recognize will be a lot lower, which is going to help the bottom line. Another side note is that the company's planning on buying back $2 million in stock by the end of next July. I'm going to leave that up to our audience whether they like that or not, simply because I personally would like to see the money stay inside the company, just because they do have a lot of costs and they're continuing to build a couple more plants. So overall, I like the direction the company's heading in. I wouldn't say that their financials look amazing, but they do look strong. So I don't expect a huge pop, but I think a good kind of baseline has been built. Doc, let's get your view on technicals.
Well, Corey, let's start with the daily chart this time. And on the daily chart, what strikes me is this company has been above the 200-day moving average now for a number of months, and that's encouraging. And in fact, it approached it at early December again, or the end of November, and it bounced off of it with pricing moving higher. So that's a positive, and it appears that the 200-day moving average will offer some good support. Now, when you look at the momentum indicators, they look like they're moving laterally, and probably the MACD is telling you that it'll probably want to roll over here a little bit. So and that, along with the strength indicators, which on the ADX, the green directional line is starting to move down, and the red directional line, which is a directional line for a movement down, is moving toward the green line. So that means there's going to be a little bit of pressure on pricing for a little while here, and the odds are very good that it moves sideways to just a little bit down in the next few days as we move into late December. And then when you go to the weekly chart, what you're seeing on the weekly chart is the fact that once again, it looks like we have on the MACD we're having the 12-week move up to hit the 26-week. And in all probability for the rest of the month, we'll rise up against it, which will be resistant, and it'll start to move down with the 26-week. So that, once again, means that pricing will most likely just move laterally to potentially a little bit down, and the RSI is showing that as well. Also, the strength indicator shows that the green directional line is starting to move down, and that would go along with what I'm seeing on momentum. Now, the chart that's really interesting and why I saved it until the last was the monthly chart. And on the monthly chart, we're seeing the Bollinger Bands narrow just considerably. You hardly have any trading range on the monthly anymore, just like you was a situation back in 2013 where it traded in a very narrow range for a while, and then it popped up in the early 2014. And the ADX or the strengthening line on the monthly is moving up, which is also a positive. So I wouldn't be surprised here if we, as we have these Bollinger Bands narrowing, that we're going to get a point in the next month or two where, and maybe even a little bit longer, where this stock pops one way or another. And I would say the odds, based on all the charts I'm looking at, is that it pops. The pricing pops out of that on the high side.
Looking good kind of from both standpoints, I would have to say. Now, the one thing I would like to ask our listeners is if there are any companies you would like our input on, please let us know via the – no, not via the blog. Please send either Corey or myself an email. Our email addresses are clearly on our homepage, kereport.com. And you need to state in there you are not looking for investment advice, simply on our opinions. Having said that, hope you guys enjoyed the show this week. It was a lot of fun putting it together.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Did you know that home break-ins increase more than 100% during the holidays? It takes just 10 seconds for an intruder to kick in your door. But police response to a home alarm system is more than 20 minutes. And intruders are in and out of your home in 5 minutes. Thieves know that you're not home and have presents inside just waiting to be taken. And if you are home, how safe will you feel with an intruder lurking inside with your family? That's why police across the country are recommending you use Door Armor. Proven to withstand the force of a battering ram, Door Armor keeps intruders out. It's easy to install and barely visible, and your Door Armor is guaranteed for life. Go to invasionstopper.com for a very special buy one, get one at half off deal. These savings are for a limited time and only available to GCN listeners. Protect your valuables and loved ones this holiday season. Go to invasionstopper.com now. That's invasionstopper.com.